So, brothers and sisters in Christ our God, in our holy Orthodox tradition and faith, we stand, as it were, nearly on the eve of Nativity. And it's a very complicated situation in certain ways. And obviously the whole question of secular society celebrating Christmas, and then we wait another 13 days to celebrate our Holy Nativity. And I think God, in His infinite love and mercy, has purpose, and He has intention. And He's allowed this separation to come in order for us to be, as it were, separated from the world. And I think we could agree that the celebration on the 25th is really more of a worldly festival. And what our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ calls us to is a spiritual feast, a transformation of our heart, with the birth of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ taking place within us, being renewed within us. And so here we are. We have to, as it were, move on from the celebration of the world and enter into the celebration of the body of Christ and the Holy Church. And He gives us this wonderful parable. A certain man made a great supper and invited many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were invited, "Come, all things are now ready." And of course we understand that this supper or this banquet is a spiritual banquet. And this so our Savior uses material things of the world, in order to turn our mind toward deeper things. And this certain man, of course, is our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. And the banquet that He's made is the banquet of the birth of our Lord. And He's invited many. And he sent His servant at supper time to say to them that were invited, "Come, for all things are now." And they all, with one consent, began to make excuse. The first said to him, "I have bought a piece of ground, and I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused." Another said, "I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. And I ask you to have me excused." And another said, "I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come." And I think that our Savior, this parable, is a spiritual parable. It's speaking, it's about spiritual things in a spiritual way. And it also, it identifies passions that we have. The whole idea that we have this piece of ground, we have this possession, this great possession that around which one can center their whole lives, a piece of ground, as it were. So I think what our Savior is saying, that we give ourselves to material things. And then this whole idea that a person has purchased 5 yoke of oxen, and he goes to prove them, and he wants to be excused. So this is a certain kind of vanity in the 5 yoke of oxen, right, it seemed to me. And I'm sure, those of you who have been to county fairs and great fairs, there's always this competition proving the strength of animals, oxen and horses and so on. What is it? It's about vanity. It's about pride. And another said, "I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come." And, of course, course, marriage is a beautiful and a wonderful sacrament of the Holy Church. And yet, it's a sacrament which is a foundation to bring us closer to God. And this wonderful teaching in St. Paul where he instructs those who are married to come together in marital relations, but from time to time to separate for a period of time for the purpose of prayer. And I think that so we have these wonderful insights, as it were, into our lives. And it is true that the Holy Church teaches us that in preparation for the great feast, that we should separate from our carnal relations in order to prepare ourselves in prayer. And so then, the servant came and reported these things to his lord. And then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servants, "Go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind." And the servant said, "Lord, it is done as you commanded, and yet there is still room." And the lord said unto the servant, "Go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were invited shall taste of my supper." And I think as we read these last verses, what we see is we see our Savior actually criticizing the Jews of the time. Because they had a worldly and even in a carnal, in a very broad sense, carnal understanding of obedience to the law. And we see this is criticized again and again by our Lord in his teachings, that on the one hand they keep the law, and yet on the other hand they don't keep the spirit of love and compassion. And that the spirit of love and compassion is truly at the very foundation of the law. And so what he does here is he has his first teachings, and the children of Israel are not responding. And so then he goes out to the Gentiles, and he calls them to the feast, and fills the banquet hall. And it's amazing because, in a sense, you know, we are the Gentiles who have been called, and we're called to the feast. And the very essence of this is, how do we prepare ourselves in such a way that our inner life can be transformed with the Feast of Nativity? And the symbolism is very, very clear, that Christ is to be born not just in hymns and in celebration, but Christ is to be born in our hearts through prayer and fasting and dedication to the Word of God, and listening to the divine sermons, so that we can be transformed. And I think that all of us understand that we neglect inner transformation. That we neglect this. We like to have the outward signs, and we like to have the outward festival. But the idea that we would dedicate ourselves to prayer and fasting in a deeply serious way, to empty ourselves out and to undercut the passions that bind us, is something that's difficult. And yet, it's necessary. And it's remarkable. There are so many analogies, and even to athletics and so on, where people will train with tremendous intensity and diet in particular ways and so on, and give up all kinds of pleasures of the flesh in order to compete in a race in the world. And it's happening, you know, all the time. We have a remarkable interest in athletics and sports, and these are people who sacrifice remarkably in order to compete, as it were, in the world. And we, poor souls that we are, do we sacrifice in order to enter into communion with our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ? Do we sacrifice our time in prayer? Do we sacrifice our resources in supporting the Holy Church? Do we make the efforts? Do we unite our minds and our hearts to the Word of God so that we will be sanctified and made holy? Have we prepared, as it were, our heart by cutting away from the desires of the flesh and the vanity of the world? Have we prepared our heart to receive this great mystery of the birth of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ? And I pray that we will do this. The second part of this is that is the epistle. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then you will also appear with him in glory. So this is the promise, that when Christ appears, that we will appear with him in glory. And how would that happen? By being united to him. That's the way it happens. By being united to him in this life, uniting our hearts and our minds and our whole way of life to the life of Christ. He says, subdue therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, adulterous thoughts, impure imagery, lack of charity, chastity, mind and thought and feeling. And he says, uncleanness, moral impurity, religious impurity, which is faithlessness. And our passions, excessive pleasure, and anger, and frustration, all these passions that we have. And evil desire. Do we sometimes have evil desire where we want to bring harm upon others, or we wish them ill, or that somehow or other they would be punished or banished or be some way injured? I think it happens. I think that we become frustrated and angry, and we have this little burst of energy. And it's an energy that is negative, and it's designed to hurt, and to hurt without any physical and obvious involvement. And covetousness, says the Apostle Paul, which is idolatry. Covetousness, idolatry, extreme desire for material things, envy and jealousy over the possessions and the wealth of our neighbors. So, are we guilty of these passions? Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the children of disobedience, in which you yourself once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or nor bond or free, but Christ is all in all. And so to be renewed in the knowledge of God. And this is what we pray for. And may we turn our hearts and minds, please, between now and Holy Nativity, set aside all the distractions, turn your hearts and minds to our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. Attend the divine services, read the Holy Gospels. Everyone has access these days to the Gospels. Right on. You can get them online. The Holy Trinity, Russian Orthodox Church, has a nice app. You can read the Gospel every day, the Epistle every day. You can look up the lives of the saints and read them. Let us turn our hearts and minds to the things of God, that when the feast happens through the divine services of our Holy Church, we know, we will recognize and know our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. And we little by little be transformed and made new in his image, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Let us all say.